Let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about the church. I believe in the church. Sometimes people look around and they wonder, like, really? Why would you want to believe in that? It's like saying, I believe in democracy, or I believe in what's happening in Washington, D.C. I believe something happened up there, and I don't know if I want to know what happened. You know, sometimes we look at things, we wonder about it. Let's look at Matthew. Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said to him, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Jesus said he was founding his church. As we look at the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Jesus said he was going to make this. I want to talk about, of course, first and foremost, is the thing that sometimes catches us when we read the Apostles' Creed. It's the word Catholic. I know that's the one right in the middle of the list, but we're going there first. I like to do that sometimes, start in a place you don't expect. Say, what do you mean by Catholic? We're not Roman Catholic, and you're right, we're not. But see, Catholic, in the sense that's used here, is not the idea of Roman Catholic. Saying Catholic is Roman Catholic is like saying if you're wearing a red hat, you're absolutely a Trump supporter. Which some might upset some Cardinals fans because they were wearing red long before Trump went, it was. People get these ideas in their head. But it's not true. Catholic, that word Catholic means universal. The Creed teaches us, and the Bible teaches us, that Jesus has one church. And it isn't Selma Christ Church. We're not the it. We're part of it. But we're not it. I've met people who believe their church was the only church in the entire world. I was like, I don't know what Bible you're reading. But Jesus said that he would bring together people, all kinds of people, from all walks of life, from all cultures, from all areas of the globe. So Jesus and the Bible and the Creed teaches us that we are all one church. We belong to different denominations, we belong to different people groups, but we are only one church. Kind of like, I can extol it this way. We are part of the United States, right? Indiana is part of the United States. Amen? Right? How about California? Yeah? Is California different than Indiana? Yeah. Is California different than Texas? Yeah. Is Texas different? Texas is different from everybody. Texas is different from Indiana. Yes. Are we all part of the United States? Yeah. That's the way it is, even in the church. A person living in Juneau, Alaska, Honolulu, Hawaii, L.A., even Washington, D.C. is part of the United States. Some may argue that last one. But the truth is, we're all part of the United States. From different backgrounds, different ways of looking at things, we're all part of this. In the church, what makes us the same, what makes us part, is because we have joined the one kingdom, the kingdom ruled by Jesus Christ. In some ways, we're like gypsies. Gypsies don't have a nation, a place on the planet that says, this part of the world is ours. But they consider themselves a nation, a people unto themselves. What is it? It's blood. It's family. It's because you vow to join with them. And that's the way it is with the church of Jesus Christ. We're all related by blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are very much Catholic. We're the ones who've taken the words of Peter, who said, "Thou art the Christ." And we've applied it to our life and made him, Christ, or the Lord of our lives. And when we really think about it, it's something amazing. Because we're part of a church that wraps around the world. And if you want to really blow your mind, we're a part of something that goes throughout time. Remember when Jesus talked to the Sadducees? Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They also didn't believe in anything but the first five books of the Bible. So they said, well, the first five books don't talk about a resurrection, so we don't believe in it. But then Jesus came along and said, have you forgot your own scriptures? God says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I don't know about you, but you don't use present tense for someone who's dead. And Jesus pointed that out. So in one very real sense, we are a part of a church that has people in it who lived hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Because though they may not be on this planet, they are part of our church. And one day in eternity, we'll stand beside our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just from Africa, not just from China, not just from Russia, not just from Africa, not even from the United States. We're going to be talking to people from nations who didn't even exist today, but existed then, with languages that we've never heard about. And we'll be part of this one group. It's awesome. It is inspiring in a very real way. We are a part of a Catholic church, something that's universal, beyond the bounds of space and time, if you might say. But also, we believe in a church that's holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fasting yourself according to your former lust and ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Think about that a second. God says that we are to be holy. But if you look around, well, we don't always hit the mark, do we? A holy church? Hey, you don't have to stay in church longer than a few weeks to find out that we're not always up to that level, are we? It doesn't seem like we're holy. Doesn't seem like we're even close. But here's the thing. Jesus is making us holy, and he will make us holy. Can you judge how a child is going to be when they grow up? Sometimes you look at that little kid in school and you think that kid's a brat and a bully and he's horrible. And grows up to be something generous and kind and sweet. Sometimes that sweet little girl turns into the most mean-spirited gossip you've ever seen. We don't know what somebody's turning into. God is working in our lives, and he is going to make us, he is making us holy if we allow him, and he will make us holy. So we are a holy church. We may not have arrived there totally yet, but we're on the path. In one sense, God's given us the cure. The cure is Jesus Christ. But sometimes, you've all been to the doctor, and he's given you a shot, and he said, you'll feel better in 3 or 4 days. The moment you leave the room, you don't feel better, do you? In fact, sometimes you may feel actually a little worse because they took this metal thing and shoved it into your body. I don't know about you. I have this memory of this being 5 years old and this nurse coming at me with a needle this big. It's true. I remember it. My childhood memories could not be wrong. And my mother let it happen. She encouraged this sadistic woman to shove this thing into my backside. I remember it clearly. By the way, you all notice I may have an issue with needles. But the truth is, we have the cure when we've received Jesus Christ. It may not be fully activated in our lives, but we have it. In a sense, we're vaccinated. That vaccination is not fully engaged in every part of our life right now, but it's there. And so the church is holy. God's going to make us completely holy. Unless you absolutely refuse to allow him to. If you say, I will not let you change my heart, God. I actually had somebody one time look at me and say, I will never forgive him, ever. I said, so you don't want to be a Christian? They were just startled. I don't know what they were expecting me to say. I think they were expecting me to say, oh, you need to understand. No. I just hit them where they're at, which got them off guard. I said, God says if you're going to be a Christian, you have to forgive. I said, it may not be easy, but you need to. All of a sudden, they started looking at things a little differently. The thing is, we can actually tell God, I refuse to follow you. And that's a dangerous place to go. But as long as we're willing, at least partially, God will change us. God will transform us. And he will. He is and he will make us holy. You say, well, I'm not perfect right now. No, you're not, and neither am I. But we're in a relationship with God. And that, in its most perfect sense, is kind of like being in a marriage relationship, a good marriage relationship. Even the best marriage relationships, you don't always get along. Sometimes things happen that sort of... Now, y'all have met my wife. You may think she's perfect. And since she's not here, I can say something. She, oh, you rats, you're recording this. She's not always perfect. Occasionally, she's made a mistake. Never with numbers and never with money, but with everything, other things, she has been wrong a few times. And guess what? I'm not perfect either. I'm definitely not perfect. But you know what? We're still happily married. Why? Because we've learned that we don't have to be perfect to be in a relationship, but we have to be perfectly in love with one another. And so I can mess up, but God's going to work with me because He loves me. One mistake doesn't throw me out. But He's doing a work with me, and He will make me holy. He will make you holy. And therefore, we can say in faith, I believe in a holy Catholic Church. And I believe in the communion of saints. When we think of communion, oftentimes we think of the Lord's Supper, or what's called also the Eucharist, where we share the what's the symbol of the body and blood of our Lord. But the word communion actually means an exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when that exchange is on a mental or a spiritual level. A very worldly illustration of this might be that if you come together as a group of you supporting your favorite football team and you're watching the Super Bowl together, you're all on the same page, aren't you? Are you different? Yes. Different ways of celebrating? Yes. But you're all in this together. They get a good play and you're all like, yes! You know, you can hear it. Sometimes three or four houses down, you can hear it. In the same way, people can come together and share a bond, a communion, when they're working on a project together. Hopefully, when we work on this project next week in the afternoon with the young people and the adults working together on this project, we'll have some communion. We're working on something together to join us together to help other people. People working on a Habitat House or working in the Lions Club together. That's the kind of thing. You're in communion to help other people or do something good. Those are examples of that. People who've gone through war shared a communion because they faced things together and now they have a bond of something, of thoughts and shared experience that joins them together in a deep way. And you know, we can disagree with people, but if we're a part of the communion of saints and we live into that like we should, we can look past some of the other stuff. I have some brothers and sisters in Christ that are great people. They're Baptist. I've got some other people from other denominations that I love. And we're going to ask them to come preach in my church. No. Because we disagree. Sometimes disagree very strongly in some issues. But I know where they stand when it comes to the most important thing. And what we believe in the creed and what we believe about Jesus Christ. And in that way, we have communion. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, and I won't read the entire passage, chapter 17 verses 20 through 26, about that God would bring us together as one, as He is one. The New Living Translations of verse 22 and 23 says, I have given them the glory You gave Me, so they may be one as We are one. I am in them, and You are in Me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that You have sent Me and that You love them as much as You love Me. We sing that song, we are part of the family of God. When we really feel that, we are feeling that communion of saints. And that's what God wants for the church. A communion of saints. God doesn't call us to be out there alone. God doesn't say, here's your marching orders, you're out, good luck. No, He calls us to be a part of something, a part of a family, a part of a community, something that's on a deep level that can change us and help us. So we are called to be a part of this communion. Yes, we may disagree, but we are still one in Christ. And when we do it the right way, the world looks on amazed and says, "What is happening here?" What's happening? Jesus is happening. And I'll tell you what, I believe in the church. Is it perfect? Nope. I know I haven't met all of you yet, and don't know a lot all about you, but I'm sure I'm going to find some people here who aren't perfect. No, nobody point fingers, okay? But here's the thing. If we're all in Jesus Christ, He's going to make us perfect. And we can love one another. And that love can change the world and will change the world. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this time together. And Lord, as we get together to join together to sing praises to You as we finish this time, remind us, Lord, we are part of something greater. We are part of the church of Jesus Christ. And we praise You for that, Father, that You have made us one in You. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.